and asked him some questions about his music, about his background, and all the things that he's doing. Stephen Sutherland, are you on there with us now? Stephen? Stephen, are you on the air with us?
Right, I'm here, Larry. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine now, my friend. It's so good to have you here. Stephen, I want to just kind of like talk to you about some of the things that you've done and talk to you about some of your music. We are very excited about you. Where are you located? I understand that you are in Ohio. Am I correct about that?
Right. I'm in Youngstown, Ohio, which is basically halfway between Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Stephen, how long have you been bagpiping? That's a very unique, I guess, instrument to play. How long have you been doing that?
I have, by this point, probably been playing maybe 17 years or so.
17 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you've been doing this quite a long time. How did you start out? I understand you are from the great state of Texas, and you had some family members that were involved with this. So is this how you really got started in it?
Right. I basically grew up hearing the pipes. I know every summer I would go to called the Texas Folklife Festival in San Antonio.
Now, what is that?
It's this huge festival in the San Antonio area. They have it basically, you know, every year. It's a huge mix of cultures, food, music. And basically, my uncle and his whole family play the pipes. And
mm-hmm.
they make up the San Antonio pipes and drums, and they've been playing at the Folklife Festival, I think, probably about every year since it started. So I remember, you know, again, going there when I was a kid and hearing them play, and I've always loved the sound of the pipes, and
mm-hmm.
You know, and took it from there.
Wow, that's great. Stephen, let me ask you, if it's okay, I'd like to play some of your music because I want our audience to really, really get familiar with you and your style and your technique, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Okay, let me just put a track on here so we can hear some of the things that you've done and tell us a little bit about it. Very unique sound.
This tune is called Stop in the Brave. It's probably one of the most requested pipe tunes there is. Most people have been associated with, you know, with Scotland, and again, it's a fun, you know, lively tune. And, you know, again, it's one that when people think of bagpiping, this is the tune that will often come to mind for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you something, Stephen. I understand you have played with some pretty famous people. I think you've opened up for Rod Stewart and the
right.
Chieftains. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. That was a great deal, actually. When I was first getting started on piping, I used to live in Virginia, actually, and I was part of a pipe band down that way. Then later, after a few years, I moved to Ohio for some work, and one day when I got home on the answering machine, there was this message from a friend of mine with whom I used to pipe, and he said, "Stephen, you know, how'd you like to open up for Rod Stewart?" And I thought, well, he's got to be kidding. And I called him up, and wasn't kidding at all. And actually, he said, "Well, we've been, you know, asked to pipe for, you know, for the opening for the Rod Stewart concert." And
mm-hmm.
so I got in the car and you know, drove down to Virginia, and we did the opening concert, part of the Rod Stewart concert. So it was, you know, again, a great time. Had a lot of fun.
I bet. That's exciting. That's really exciting. And you also played a solo on stage with the Chieftains, too. Now, I find this to be very impressive. Tell the audience a little bit about that.
Oh, well, the Chieftains, of course, are just an amazing group. And they've just, you know, the sort of the Irish version of the Rolling Stones. They've done collaborations with the Rolling Stones, with just really about anyone you can think of, and just a tremendous Irish group. And
mm-hmm.
I was really thrilled when I got a call asking me to pipe as part of their show in the Cleveland area, in the Palace Theater. I was asked to basically do a solo where I again, did a solo at the beginning of the tune, and then they came in on the second part of the tune, and it was a tremendous time. And then as part of the finale for the show, I got together with some of my other piping friends in the Cleveland area. Some guys from the Eastside Irish American Club were there, some guys from the Police Pipe Band.
Mm-hmm.
And also, two of my cousins from Texas flew up to help pipe as well. And I go down to San Antonio every year, I ask them how they'd like to come up to play with the Chieftains as part of the finale, and they did. It was just a tremendous time, and we just had so much fun with that.
I bet. What I'd like to do, I'd like to hear some more of your music, and after we hear this segment here, I'd like for you to tell the folks how you can actually play for them and how they can get in contact with you. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Here we go. Stephen, tell us a little bit about that piece. I really like that. To me, that is so soothing.
Oh, that's a fun piece, and that's one of my favorite pieces. It's called the Athol Highlanders, and it's a tune that I'll often play for weddings.
Mm-hmm.
I do actually quite a few weddings, and the most frequent point I would say where I'm asked to pipe in weddings is as a recessional, basically after the couple are presented for the first time. I'll strike up the pipes at the back of the church or the back of the aisle. I'll come up to the aisle or come up the aisle playing to them and then lead them back out the church playing something light and lively like that. The Athol Highlanders is just a great tune. It has a lot of lift to it, just a very joyous sound. So and basically people can get in touch with me through my website, which is ohiobagpiper.com. Again, it's all one word, ohiobagpiper.com. And on that, there's a link to my email. There is my phone number is listed there for you. There's a photo gallery showing, on the last pages of the photo gallery, there's a shot from the Chieftains concert we were talking about. And right now, actually, I'm working on getting some sound samples put up on the website for people to listen to as well. And basically, I do quite a few, I would say a wide variety of events. Again, we talked about the weddings that I do. I do, of course, parties, receptions. I've done actually a lot of promotional events as well.
What type of promotional? Say, for instance, Stephen, if somebody wanted you to do some promotional events around the Youngstown, Akron, Cleveland area, what have you done in the past?
I've worked a lot with companies, for example, like Guinness. I'm working now with Labatt's, who has a new beer. They're rolling out actually from Nova Scotia, from Bailey's Irish Cream. I piped for George Killian when he came into town as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've gone into different pubs, of course, and done some piping there. Of course, it goes along with a fun time and in a party environment, so it's, of course, fun to do events like that. I've also done events, for example, when our troops were getting ready to deploy National Guard units. I've been asked to pipe for those guys who are getting ready to head off. And really, I think about any event you can think of. Of course, St. Patty's Day is like Christmas for pipers. It's just, of course, a busy time of year. And
I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you whether or not is that one of your busiest times of the year? Is that one of the times that most people really want a piper?
You know what? It is. It's one of the, of course, one of the busiest times when it comes to piping. Now, the thing is, that's sort of being offset with all the weddings that I do now. it's really getting to be really more of a year-round event, but often people will think of it in the context of St. Paddy's Day. And so really for a number of days straight, you know, for St. Paddy's Day, I'll be going morning till late at night, covering, you know, going
really
a number of places. I've done golf events. People often associate, of course, the pipes with Scotland and golf, and will start off their, you know, their golf events by having a piper there as well.
That's fantastic.
Birthday parties, again, just about almost anything.
Great. This is Larry Elliott with WFYT Blog Talk Radio, and we have Stephen Holder, really an international piper, because I understand, Stephen, you've done some things in Canada as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. As part of my piping, I'm currently a part of a pipe band, and actually I've been involved with pipe bands really from early on. And I've done, you know, again, competed in both solo piping competitions and also with pipe band competitions. And we've competed throughout, you know, this part of the U.S., you know, in Ohio and Pennsylvania, you know, Indiana. And then we've also gone up and competed in the Ontario area with when I was a part of the North Coast Pipe Band. And, again, just piping is a very strong part of the community. Actually, when you get up into Canada, it has a very, you know, strong history of piping and really quality piping at that. And so I've really enjoyed going up there, having the chance to compete there in both the solos and also with our pipe bands.
Wow. I want to hear some more of your music here, Stephen. And after we hear this, I want you to kind of comment on this. This is a great piece as well. Stephen, you sound like a full-fledged orchestra, man. That's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about that piece. It's busy, and I like that.
Right. It's part of an Irish set that I do that actually ends up in there's another part of that tune as well called the Irish Washerwoman. It goes into a jig from there, and it's just, you know, again, living where I do in the Youngstown area, it's an old sort of steel mill industry, and there were a lot of immigrants who came in, you know, some from Ireland, and so people often ask for, you know, Irish tunes, and you know, you like doing fun and lively Irish tunes. So I've been working on, again, building up a repertoire of you know, of course, not only the Scottish tunes but the Irish tunes, and you know, it's a tune again that just is a lot of fun, and I know when I'm piping, one of the ways that I really sort of evaluate how things are going is just looking at you know, how many people are sitting there tapping their feet, and I love it when their heads are nodding, their feet are tapping, and I know they're having a good time.
That's great. You all can reach Stephen at 330-518-7244. He's in the Cleveland Youngstown area, and I guess that the ones that are calling in and that are listening to this show today, we had an email here, Stephen, and really what they wanted to know, this is from a teenage guy. He wants to know, how much air does it really take to blow a bagpipe?
Well, you know, it's funny. The often people will come up to me and they'll say, "Well, you don't smoke, do you?" I say, "Well, no. I leave that to the drummers, you know." But it does. It takes a fair amount of air, and it takes a while to build up to it, actually. And you know, and when you're first learning the pipes, you learn on what's called a practice chanter, and it is something that looks, I guess, something similar to a recorder, you know, that you maybe played on in school, and then once you've learned a number of tunes on the practice chanter, then you work your way up to the pipes. And at first you have all the drones corked up, and you're just working with the chanter again, which is where you change the notes, and then you can gradually add one drone, then two, and then three. And you really have to build up from there, and there's a lot of maintenance, sort of little tricks of the trade that, that you have to learn, you know, going along with the piping. You know, there's a story that, you know, when people talk about learning the pipes, they say that you should be playing them for about 7 years before you go out in public.
Mm. Wow.
Again, part of that's just because, again, when you're first learning, it's good to practice in a sort of a remote spot and
mm-hmm.
until you get the hang of it. And then I tell you, though, once you get them going and it's just something that you really love. And I love the sound of the pipes. I've always loved the sound of them.
Oh, it's so intriguing, Stephen. I mean, it's so soothing. Let me ask you a question. Are there any colleges that offers courses in bagpiping that you are aware of?
You know, it's funny. There is actually in at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, and I do work in the Pittsburgh area.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually get a degree in bagpiping, and I think it's.
You kidding me? Really?
Oh, seriously, I think it's the only place in the world where you can get a bachelor's degree in bagpiping. In fact, their instructor is pipe major Alistair Gillies, who, excuse me, is a world champion piper. Again, a tremendous piper, and we're very fortunate to have him here in the United States, and not only in the United States, but nearby, actually, where I live. So, yes, you can get a degree in piping. In fact, I understand, I believe it's the College of Worcester in Ohio, where you could, I think, even get a scholarship, actually, as a piper. So there are colleges where you can, where piping is a part of their background, Carnegie Mellon, Worcester. And even in Texas, there's actually a high school program, world champion high school program, St. Thomas Episcopal Pipe Band, who, again, they're, you know, very strong. And they've had a background working with Mike Cusack, who, again, has gone to Scotland and again, just done a tremendous job there, as a Texan.
Let me ask you something, Steve. Have you been to Scotland or Ireland yourself piping, or have you visited those countries?
You know what, I would love to go. I have not had a chance to go over as of this point. I know it's something that we'd like to do, and so that's something definitely I'd like to go see. For example, the World Pipe Band Championships, would be, of course, a great treat to go see. But, you know, there's a lot of great piping here in the States. In fact, in the wintertime in January in Kansas City, there is a program called Winter Storm, where you have pipers from all over the world who go to Kansas City, and there's sort of it's a concert where these pipers can come up with the most creative, imaginative, piping and actually piping and drumming that you can hear, and it's just a great treat. So you can actually hear some of that great piping here in the States.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this, Stephen. Can you write music for the pipe, say, for instance, like you would maybe a trumpet or whatever? Can you write your own music? Or how does this generally work?
Sure. You could compose your music. I know, and the funny thing is people will often ask, well, do you know how to play such and such on the pipes?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes these tunes will carry over to the pipes, and some tunes lend themselves better to the pipes than others just because of the particular key that the pipes have. And so, yes, you can, of course, compose music for the pipes. There are, in fact, one of the tunes that I'm working on now was written by, this 13-year-old who wrote this fantastic jig. And so you can compose music for the pipes. There's software out there, actually, that helps you to do that, to work with the particular keys and notes that are, again, sort of unique to the pipes. So you can do that. You can write original music, and again, sometimes other music will lend itself, to the pipes as well. People often ask, for example, about Danny Boy. Can you play Danny Boy on the pipes? Well, they do mention the pipes, in there, and it took a long time for me to find a setting of Danny Boy that I like, and that really complements the pipes well. But I do have a nice set that includes Danny Boy and another Irish tune called The Rakes of Mallow. And again, often with military tunes, often pipe tunes have been traditionally written for, to commemorate military events, particular battles, things of that sort. Again, for example, can do the caissons, can do the Marine Corps hymn, and people often ask for, and I would say one of the most frequently requested tunes on pipes is, of course, Amazing Grace, because that just lends itself so well to the pipes. And you're, when you're talking about the emotional aspect of the pipes, again, that's a tune that really, it just really resounds, when you're hearing
it. Wow. Let me make sure I understood you right. You said a 13-year-old wrote a piece, and 13.
Right. And again, and I think that depends on the culture in which you're raised, because, when you talk about learning the pipes, one of the ways that I learned also was I went to bagpiping camps. Actually, there's a piping camp in North Carolina, not too far from Grandfather Mountain, and it's a whole week of instruction where you work with some of the world-class instructors in not only learning how to, play the chanter well, work on technique, all the maintenance tricks with the pipes, but again, you're learning how to play, really good pipe music. And at some of these, some events that they have, some of them might be pipe camps, but they'll have competitions where people of all ages really can compose and submit tunes.
Wow. That's wonderful. At age 13, Stephen, Tim, I guess, probably 35 years of age, he'll be wonderful, won't he?
Oh, you know what? He's probably a wonderful piper right now.
I imagine.
In fact, that's one of the things I noticed in Canada, in the competitions there. When you look at these top-grade bands that are on the field competing, and when the pipe bands are competing, they're on the field in a circle. And as I looked around the circle, you see, all these adults playing, and then suddenly your eyes have to look down a bit because here's this kid who's in there competing with the adults. And, the thing about kids is when they're learning music, they can just really acquire the skills so quickly. They can learn the finger technique, and often what needs to come along somewhat with maturity is just learning the musical control and the musical expression. But, kids can start learning the pipes. I would say maybe around age 8 or so would be a good time, to start learning. And again, just the rapid rate, really, that kids acquire skills, it's a great time to learn, to learn how to play, to begin learning how to play the pipes and reading music. And the nice thing, too, is you were talking about, playing a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in middle school, I played the French horn, and that's where I learned how to read, treble clef music, and those same skills, learning how to read sheet music, made the process of learning the pipes that much quicker. And so if you have a child who knows how to read, who knows how to play, the piano, the violin,
mm-hmm.
the flute, all these treble clef instruments, those are skills that can be transferable and help that child to learn, not just a child, but an adult, to learn how to play the pipes.
And, Stephen, I guess the great thing about this, you can actually start out at any age. Am I correct about that?
Yeah. I grew up hearing the pipes, and I was in graduate school before I would say I really took it up in earnest. And
mm-hmm.
so you can. And I know people who are, adults who say, wow, I really always wanted to learn the pipes. And again, it's a matter of getting together with someone. Usually, you can get together. You can, get on the internet and find a local pipe band, and usually, I would say quite often, they're willing to help provide lessons to help get you started, and then you can look into finding these bagpiping camps that I was telling you about that are available to you often during the summertime in different parts of the U.S. and Canada, and if you're
mm-hmm.
able to travel abroad, there's the College of Piping in Scotland, where, again, you get different musical programs that are out there where you can, take up the pipes.
Wonderful. Stephen, I want to hear some more of this Brave Scotland set and let our audience hear that. And again, you can get in contact with Stephen at 330-518-7244. And, of course, his website is www.ohiobagpiper.com. And that's beautiful.
Thank you.
That is beautiful.
It's fun.
I bet it is. I bet that's a lot of fun doing that, and I can tell you enjoy it. And I advise people to go to your website at ohiobagpiper.com. They can see you there, and you have a gallery there, and it's a wonderful website. And I really hope people go and visit that because it's wonderful. Now, I want to ask you a question. I'm in Music City. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Now, Stephen, is there any way country music can be played on a bagpipe?
Oh, yeah. You know, when I was, in fact, when I'm in Texas, and again, piping with my cousins there, one of the things that we've done at the Texas Folklife Festival, we've played with actually a bluegrass group there, and we'll finish up, again, their show doing the Cotton Eye Joe. And again, speaking of tunes that work really well on the pipes, Cotton Eye Joe is actually great on the pipes. And so It is something that really gets the audience going. You know, when you've got the fiddles going, you've got the pipes going back and forth, taking turns, and then playing together. And because, you know, the thing is about country music is that a lot of it has its roots in Celtic music. We go back to really bluegrass to the roots of, say, North Carolina, where a lot of immigrants came in. They brought with them a lot of this music that was, again, some of it played on the pipes, and then that transferred over to the fiddle. And so really they're pretty close cousins, and I tell you, the music can work out really well together, and it's fun to do, you know, those types of collaborations in particular.
That is amazing. We're going to have to get you here in Nashville because, man, this this is fantastic.
That would be fun. Nashville's a great place, so absolutely.
Yeah, it is. It's music capital of the world. And I tell you, Stephen, you're a very talented individual with a great, great background. And I'm quite sure that a lot of our audience that's listening now will be contacting you for events, because one of the great things about Stephen is that he's available to do weddings. He does all kinds of different types of events, and the memorial services, parties, special events around the Youngstown, Cleveland area. And I would like for you all to call him at 330-518-7244, because this would be a great opportunity for the ones who are not familiar with piping in order to get a feel for it. Stephen, I want to ask you before we conclude our interview here, if we could possibly get you back on the air sometime in the near future, do you think that might be possible?
I'd love to. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
also, Larry, just to let you know, too, it's not just Northeast Ohio, but because I work in the Pittsburgh area, I was in Youngstown between here and Pittsburgh, I'm also available in Western Pennsylvania, so feel free to give me a call as well.
So all you Steeler fans up there around the Pittsburgh area, call Stephen at 330-518-7244. This has been a great, great interview, Stephen. You are amazing, and I'm just so impressed with the people. Like you opened for, of course, I told you, audience, that he opened for Rod Stewart. He's played with the Chieftains. He's played internationally. He's played in Canada up around the Ontario area. So please give him a call. Visit his website at www.ohiobagpiper.com. And I think that you would really, really be intrigued with this great, gifted musician. Stephen, we're going to end here, I think, probably with the Irish Washerwoman. I like that piece. And I just want to thank you so much for your time and for your participation and what you're doing for music.
Hey, I sure appreciate it, Larry. Thanks so much.
But thank you, my friend, and we'll be in touch soon.
Right,
you can call him at 330-518-7244, Mr. Stephen Holden. Thank you very much. Have a great day.